Does anybody know how true that is? At least I put on a different coat when I come up here, huh? God is so good. Hallelujah. Can we stand together? Amen. We're going to read an opening passage here in Acts chapter 5. Verse number 29 through verse 32. Acts 5, verse 29 through 32. Amen. All right, we got it on the screen. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." I read that slow on purpose. The Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Amen. I want to talk tonight about the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, have your hand upon us, Lord God. Bless us tonight. We ask you, Jesus, to speak your word into our hearts, Lord. Help it, Lord Jesus, to renew our minds, Lord God. Lord, we're so thankful, God, for another opportunity to grow. Amen. Another opportunity to learn and to instill the truth of the Word of God into our lives. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. We have a sign back here that Pastor Greeley got from Chesapeake, Virginia, from his pastor, Brother Hall. It was hanging in the church there for many years, and it was behind the pulpit. Amen. We had a little bit of a different sign in our church. It had Acts 2:38, but it said, "Obey Acts 2:38. We made bumper stickers and stuff, and I remember one of the guys in the church just wanted to make people really mad, and they put a ring with "No Trinity" and put bumper stickers on, you know, gave bumper stickers, and you know, that would start some conversations. Amen. But another one was "Obey Acts 2:38 and it had the address of the church. And this question comes up a lot where people in the denominational world, in churches today, and I'm going to just tell you the truth today, but in denominational churches today, they do not preach this Acts 2:38 message. If they do read it, they read it in a completely different context. We're going to get into some of that, and this is very important, because is it really just believe and you're saved? Is it really just all that you do doesn't count for anything? Not even your obedience? But I love how these verses talks about, and there's a consistency throughout the New Testament of this message of repentance and remission of sins and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. How many thankful that you're in a church that knows the whole gospel, that knows how to get into heaven, that has the keys to the kingdom, amen, and we tell it all the time. We show people all the time in Bible studies and across the pulpit, and if God writes a song through me, I put it in songs, amen. It's all important that we don't get distracted and thinking, well, nothing I do matters. No, it is what you believe that matters, but it's also, did you obey it? Did you obey it from your heart? So we'll go to Acts 2:38, Acts 2:37 actually, and see how the people in the first day of the first service of the church, how they responded to this message. And what did they ask? So Acts 2:37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" A good question deserves a good answer. So Peter, he was standing there with the 11, and he said, "Then Peter said unto them," in verse 38, "Repent." Someone say repent. "And be baptized." Somebody say baptized. "Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ." It matters how you're baptized. Somebody say, "In the name of Jesus Christ." Amen. "For the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Can somebody say, "The gift of the Holy Ghost"? Amen. Do you have the gift of the Holy Ghost? Does anybody got it? Hallelujah. I know it's Wednesday night and the youth crowd's not here, so I need some energy from you. Hallelujah. I got it. Look at your neighbor if you have it. Say, "I got it." So there are many firsts here on the day of Pentecost. And first things are important. First principles are important. So this is the first service in the first apostolic church, the church of the living God. And so God is going to set some precedents. That's one of my favorite words to use. God is going to set some precedents here in Acts chapter 2 of how things ought to be. So the first time, this is the first time after the death, burial, and resurrection that we find the church being filled with the Holy Ghost. Say, "Well, what about when Jesus breathed on them and said, 'Receive ye the Holy Ghost'?" Well, we know that later on, he said that the Holy Ghost had not yet been given because that Jesus had not yet been glorified. So we have to take all this scripture in context. So this is the very first time that the church was filled with the Holy Ghost. And it was the first sermon ever preached post-ascension. So Jesus went and preached and showed them things after he died and was buried and resurrected. Of course, Jesus preached things. But this is the first message that's preached after Jesus left the earth in that ascension. Okay, so that's important first. And this is the first time anyone ever asked, "What must we do to be saved?" That's an important question. You know, God doesn't change. So the answer should say the same. The answer is the same. Thank you, Pastor. Give me some even stronger words. I'm appreciative of my pastor. Amen. And this is the first time that Peter used the keys to the kingdom he had been given by Jesus. So all these firsts are so important. And God gave the church several signs that the outpouring of the Holy Ghost was indeed that which was prophesied by God through the prophets in the Old Testament and promised by Jesus in the New Testament. Acts chapter 2, let's read this account, this great event, the great first day of the church. Acts 2:1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Amen. What a powerful, awesome first service in the church. Amen. What a great first day in the church. Amen. The Lord came with power. The Lord came with a rushing mighty wind. The Lord put fire sitting upon their head. Amen. There were signs that were shown, amen, by these occurrences, by these events, amen, that confirmed the Word of God given in the Old Testament. That confirmed the Word of God that came by the mouth of Jesus to His apostles. Amen. So God's not making this thing up. This isn't just, you know, God shooting at the hip. God prophesied many, many years prior that this was going to happen, and it did. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad that it did, because this is a Pentecostal church. This is a church where we believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in tongues. Amen. This is a church that has signs and miracles and wonders, amen, that follow them that believe. This is a church right here in the heart of Connecticut. Well, southeastern Connecticut. Heart of New England. Amen. And I'm so excited to be a part of the church. Aren't you? Amen. It's still happening today. It's amazing. Every time God fills somebody new with the Holy Ghost for the first time, it never gets old. It's like I get a jolt from the Lord. I see it happen again, and I just worship and praise Him. And I say, He did it again. Amen. God did it again. We saw it at Impact, and we've seen it several times here. Just within the past several months, God filling people with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, so good. So good to be in the church. It's so good to have the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We'll look back now in the book of Isaiah. What are some of these signs that God prophesied? And Isaiah spoke with stunning accuracy the details of the day of Pentecost. And they were all laid out many years before it ever happened. Isaiah 28, verse 9. Isaiah writes, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." Now, I want to make a comment of this, just this section here. It's talking about how God chose Israel to be the first part of the church. That's pretty awesome. Why did God choose Israel? Well, it's because Israel had been shown for centuries all of these signs, God drawing them, God showing them who He is, God showing them His power. Amen. So God, when He chose to come, He came to His own. Amen. Those who had been taught from a little child how to praise and worship the Almighty God. Amen. So verse 11 says, okay, yeah, you learn from those books. Look at Psalm 119, that they were being taught how to praise Jesus. Amen. You were taught line upon line. But I'm going to show you something new. He says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people." We already read it in Acts chapter 2. People spoke with other tongues, stammering lips and another tongue. And here, verse 12 says, "To whom He said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing." And then we read this part that's kind of sad. It says, "Yet they would not hear." There were some people that would not hear, even when God spoke directly to them in their own language. It says, "But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. So even though God showed them something completely new, even though God confirmed His word from the Old Testament, He's saying they wouldn't hear it, and they went back to that Old Testament and said, nope, we don't want this new thing. We want to go back to our law. And they went backward. They were broken, snared, and taken. So God laid this plan out to conquer death, hell, and the grave. And He would make Himself known in Zion. In verse 14, He says, wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people, which is in, where? Jerusalem. Where were they on the day of Pentecost? Jerusalem. That's right. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, with hell. We are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. This right here shows us that Jesus was going to come and be there before the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And there, it shows us that if you trust in Him, you'll be safe. If you trust in Him, you'll have a hiding place and a refuge. But if you deny Him, you're going to be taken and broken and fall backwards and be snared. And you know, Jerusalem was destroyed not long after that. Verse 17, keep going here. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. So in verse 17, He speaks of water, the living water, the water that Jesus promised the woman at the well in John chapter 4. The water shall overflow the hiding place. And when it does, when you get this living water, your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When you receive the power of the Holy Ghost, you have the same power that raised up Jesus from the dead. You've got the very same power that caused that stone, I believe it was thrown away. Amen. You got that power in you. Amen. Hell doesn't have any power over you anymore. Death doesn't have any dominion over you anymore. Amen. You've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Somebody say it. I've got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, this is just so accurate. In Isaiah 28, I'm preaching a New Testament message from Isaiah 28. It's amazing. So when was this to... This was going to confirm, right here, one of the signs even, was He was going to confirm it by mockers and scoffers. Can you believe that such a powerful move of God can happen, and there will still be somebody that will sit there and ignore the moving of the presence of God, or they'll sit there and chuckle and laugh and go behind. You're not going behind God's back, but go behind the back of everybody and, oh, my church, that people at those churches, they're just crazy. They're just brainwashed. They're just, you know, they're just in a cult. They're, some people will even say speaking in tongues is of the devil. Really? Wow. You got to apply that standard across the board, you know. You mean that Peter was being influenced by the devil? Paul was being influenced by the devil? Come on. Verse 22. Jump down to verse 22. Look at this. Now therefore be ye that mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. So he says, give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. So by mockers and even scoffers and people that were making fun and people that were looking on, and that was even a sign of a confirmation of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes we think, oh, people are coming against us and look at all these bad things that are happening. You know, sometimes that's a sign from God that you're doing the right thing. Don't worry about them. Just keep worshiping God. Just keep speaking in tongues. Are you going to hear the voice of God? Are you going to hearken to His voice, to His speech? Amen. He's talking about when they spoke with tongues. So hear His speech. Hear His voice. Acts chapter 2 verse 5 says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. The voice of God. The speech of God. They were hearing it. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And he goes on and he lists all the places that people were from. And verse 12, just as Isaiah spoke, it says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. The mockers were a confirmation that this was that. Hallelujah. This was the word of God that came to pass. Verse 16 says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Amen. I thank God that it was a confirmation from the book of Joel and from the book of Isaiah that this indeed was that which was spoken by God, by the prophets, amen, that in the last days that He would pour out His Spirit on all flesh, amen. And it's so cool, because if they thought that was the last days, it's 2,000 years later. Wake up, church. It's the last days. Amen. God's not done yet. God still wants to save people. God still wants to fill people with the Holy Ghost. God still wants to have the church grow and multiply. God still wants to bless us. God still wants to do miracles and signs and wonders, amen, that follow those that believe, amen. He still wants to do it. And I thank God that He's going to do it, amen. Somebody thank Him in advance, amen, for the empty seat next to you that's filled with somebody that we never met before, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is not done yet. Verse 39 says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." If I was there on the day of Pentecost, I might have looked at Peter and said, "What about Uncasville?" He'd say, "Uncas what? What are you talking about? Uncas, I can't even say that. Say it again. Spell it again." I can say it, but I can't spell it yet. Hallelujah. Montville, New London County, Connecticut. Places that Peter and Paul and the apostles never heard of. That's what this is talking about. We are the ones that are afar off. Your neighbors, your boss, amen, your loved ones, the people around you, they are the ones that Jesus was speaking through Peter and said, this promise is for them too. This promise is for the backslider, Sister Brown. Amen. This promise is for everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. That's my intro. Amen. Turn off that air conditioner real quick. Go turn off that air conditioner. I'm talking to you, Brother Ryan. Go ahead. Real quick. I'm going to have them turn it off. Turn it back on. Stand by there, Brother Ryan. I'm going to help us out here. Yep, right in the middle, I think. Yeah. Oh, we need to get one of those over there. Amen. I had him turn that off because I'd like you to close your eyes. I'm going to have Brother Tim, don't play it yet, Brother Tim. I'm going to have Brother Tim play a familiar sound. And so close your eyes, everybody. This isn't spiritual, I promise. Nobody's going to come over and pray for you. All right. So here's the ground rules here, right? He's going to play this sound. Just hear it out. Hear it out. And see if you recognize it. And then I want you to pay attention to, does it bring any memories or some familiarity to your mind, okay? And if you do recognize it, don't say anything and don't open your eyes. Just raise your hand, okay? We good? All right. Go ahead, Brother Tim. Okay. All right. You can open your eyes. Keep your hand up if you had it up. Some of you didn't know what that was. Somebody tell them. Tell them next to you. What was that? It was keys unlocking a door. Right. So we've heard that so often, especially if you live anywhere. Once you get to a certain age, people give you a key. You hear it almost every day. Should I play it again? Play it again. Keys? Going in a lock? All right. Okay, you can stop it. We're so used to the sound of a key opening a lock. And sound is so powerful. It's extremely powerful. Because sometimes people change things around and stuff, and you go into a place and you're like, I've never been here before. But if you combine that with a certain sound, like a song from way back in the day, or like pots and pans in the kitchen or something like that, it can actually make you have a powerful response. When you heard the sound, did anybody picture a familiar door? Back door over there? Yep, that's really hard to lock now for some reason. Brother Andre, what did you think? What door did you think about?
The door to where I live.
The door.
I come home at night and that's all I hear.
Yeah, right. Or if somebody's outside the door first, maybe for the kids, somebody outside the door. You don't have keys, but you know when somebody's going to come in, right? So it can bring these memories back. That's why I had them play this sound, is because it's a very familiar sound. And I thought that everybody was going to recognize that sound, but that's okay. What would you think would be more important to recognize? Here's a question. The sound of familiar keys opening a familiar door, or the sound of the keys of the kingdom opening the door of salvation and heaven? What's more important? I moved a lot in my life. I've had different places that I live. But I got a mansion up there. Amen. I've got a place up there. Amen. And I'm familiar with the sound of the keys being used. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm familiar with the sound when the gospel is being preached. I'm familiar with the sound of God showing somebody a revelation. I'm familiar with the sound of somebody talking about Acts 2:38. Amen. My ears perk up when somebody starts talking about repentance. And I listen. Are they going to go on? Or are they going to just stop there? Sometimes I'm listening to preachers on the radio or something. Not intentionally, believe me. But I'm listening. Are they going to get to the point where they unlock the second bolt? Or are they going to just stop at repentance? Are they going to go past baptism? And wait, is it going to be in Jesus' name? Are they going to make it specific to what the Bible says? I'm listening for that familiar sound. When I'm reading books, and even the Bible study we were doing, Freedom in Christ, we still got to finish it. Three more lessons. God help us. Even in that Bible study, I was reading it, of course, ahead of time and preparing. And the guy was talking about becoming a Christian. But he didn't go any further than that. Say, what? Well, how do I become a Christian? Talked about being born again. But he didn't talk about how am I born again. Where's the keys? I'm listening for that familiar sound that I know Jesus used these keys. The apostles used these keys. They're in the epistles, the decades after the church started. They're in the epistles being used. They're there in all the parts of the Bible. I want to know that the keys that I'm speaking are the keys from Scripture. The keys to the kingdom of heaven. I'm not interested in going halfway. I'm not interested in somebody getting stuck in a cycle. I'm not interested in somebody coming to Jesus and then going away and say, that doesn't work. You've got to use the keys to the kingdom of heaven to get through the door. You've got to use Acts 2:38, the new birth message, the apostolic message, to get into the door. There's no other way than Jesus Christ. There's no other way than the gospel. There's no other way than Acts 2:38. Amen. Any other keys ain't going to work. They're not going to open up that lock. Amen, Sister Jerry. So the purpose of this study is that I'm going to try to equip you and teach the way of salvation through the door and confirm what happened to you is not out of the ordinary, but that all who believe and enter into heaven will use these keys to get in. Jesus said it like this: you must be born again. You must be born again. You got to be born again. And when Nicodemus asked, well, how can that be? He said, you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. To enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. You got to use the keys. Hallelujah. I have to warn you. Amen. Satan is going to try to discount your experience. Don't believe those lies that will tell you that you don't need to be baptized to have your sins remitted. Don't believe the lies that you don't need to speak in other tongues in order to know that you've been born of the Spirit. There are false teachers that have followed doctrines of men and of devils. They absolutely have made up their own doctrines. They have made up their own way. They've got their own key maker or something. And they're over there jangling their keys saying, this is the way, that's the way. Jesus told us that that was going to happen. The keys to the kingdom that you need, what are those keys? What will unlock the door of salvation? What will get you into heaven? That's important. So Matthew 16:13, and I'm not going to read all of these passages, but I want to jump to verse 19. Acts 16:19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So here we have Jesus giving Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And he said, whatever that lock is set to is what's going to stay set to. It's going to be locked on earth. It's going to be unlocked when we get to heaven. Amen? Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, Peter, will be loosed in heaven. And then something interesting happens. It says, then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Say, okay, well, hold on. We got to back up a little bit. Because how did Peter get these keys? Well, Peter was granted the keys because he got a revelation of who Jesus is. That's how he got them. Jesus granted Peter this privilege of being the one to speak on the day of Pentecost, to be the first preacher in the first service, because he knew Peter was not going to steer people wrong. He knew he wasn't going to have them worshiping other gods. He knew he wasn't going to have them going to a different Jesus. Another Jesus. Jesus knew that Peter knew who he was. And that's why he gave him that privilege. Peter, you're going to be the one to preach the inaugural message of the church. You'll preach the keys. You will preach the revelation of who Jesus is. But not yet. It has to be after you receive power. And it has to be according to Isaiah in Jerusalem. Not here in Caesarea. God had to confirm His word. And we read in Acts chapter 2 where that happened. But Acts chapter 1 tells us where they were. Acts chapter 1 verse number 4. And then we're going to jump to verse number 8. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Let's read verse 5. And John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Jump to verse 8. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so Peter got up on the day of Pentecost. We're not going to read it, but it's in Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Peter stood up with the 11 and he started to preach. And that apostolic message is still being preached today. It's still being preached right here at Apostolic Lighthouse. Amen. This is a place where people can come and hear the same message that birthed the church. Thank you, God. Peter preached the same revelation of Jesus Christ that he received when he got the keys to the kingdom. Guess what? He preached it on the day of Pentecost. We don't have time to go through his whole message. But if you want to write notes, it's Acts chapter 2, verses 22, all the way down to verse 36. Let's read verse 36. Acts 2, 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He preached the revelation of the mighty God in Christ right there on the day of Pentecost. He didn't change the message, but he preached what revelation was given to him by God. Amen. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Amen. We read that scripture already. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. Peter received the keys because of the revelation of who Jesus is. So, what were the keys then? See, we're talking about how he got the keys, talking about what happens when you use the keys, but what are the keys that Peter used? What are the keys that Peter bound and loosed on earth and is how salvation is applied through your faith and obedience? Remember, we started with God gives the Holy Ghost to those who obey him. It's your faith and your obedience to the gospel. We believe the gospel and we obey Acts 2:38. We believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, and we obey Acts 2:38, which is the application of the gospel to you personally. You die in repentance. That's the key. That's key number one. You die in repentance. I looked all over for a ring with three keys on it. So the top key there, or first key, is repentance. That's how you die to yourself. That's how you die daily. You don't do it just one time at an altar somewhere. But every day God speaks to your heart and says, keep growing. Keep on repenting. Keep on learning what of my ways, and you come to God and say, God, I agree with you that was wrong of me, and I need to repent, and I thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. You do it every day. It's a way of life. Amen. And then the second key is you're baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. That's like a burial. Baptized means to be fully immersed in water. That's why we're going to raise up this baptistry a little bit, because we don't want nobody to get partially buried. We don't want no noses sticking out. Hey, noses turn sometimes, don't they? Yeah. You better get all the way under the water. You better be completely submerged, immersed, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ, and washed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Can't be part way. We're not up here sprinkling water on people. Oh, by the way, if you're not totally dead yet, you shouldn't be buried. All right. Do I have to say it? If you haven't fully repented, you shouldn't be baptized. Okay. And the third key is you got to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, some people say, well, I'd rather follow the words of Jesus. I'd rather follow what Jesus said. But, you know, Jesus told the high priest, why are you asking me? It's in John chapter 18, verse 20. Jesus answered, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. At a certain point, Jesus started telling people, don't ask me what to do. Ask the apostles what to do. Ask the disciples what to do. They're the ones that I gave the keys to the kingdom. Go ask Peter. And if you ask Peter, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Both of my daughters are seeking the Holy Ghost. And sometimes they get up here and they pray and they didn't get the Holy Ghost. And they go back and they're all disappointed. Amen. But I tell them the words that I heard from my pastor. It says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's not a might. It's not a maybe. But if you come to God and obey from the heart that form of doctrine that was once delivered, it was a gift that was given on the day of Pentecost. Amen. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it can happen anywhere, any place. Amen. But okay. We're wrapping up here. What did Jesus say to them then? Jesus said, go ask them what I said. Well, what did Jesus say to them? Well, thank God they wrote it down. Does what Jesus say to them match what Peter preached standing with the 11? Did Jesus preach repentance? Well, here's your references. We're not going to read them. We don't have time. Mark 1, verse 15. And Luke 24, verse 47. So Jesus clearly preached repentance. Repent ye and believe the gospel, he said. That was the key. And when he gave it to Peter, he didn't say, Peter, do whatever you want with it. Change the keys if you want. No. If Peter would have changed the keys, they wouldn't have unlocked heaven. Did Peter preach repentance? Yes. Did Jesus preach repentance? Yes. Good, you're with me. Okay. Well, what about baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins? Peter preached that on the day of Pentecost. Did Jesus preach repentance and remission of sins through His name? Yes. Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Yes, Jesus preached to be baptized in His name. Amen. That's one. That was Luke 24:47. Mark 16:16. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That's the believe and obey part. Come on. And then, lastly, did Jesus preach that you should receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in tongues? Did He preach that? That was one of the keys that Peter preached in Acts 2:38. Well, yes, He did. Luke 24:49. He said, "And behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And then in Mark 16:17, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." Okay, those were all the passages Jesus used. Not all of them, but there's more. I could only scratch the surface. But Jesus absolutely preached those keys. Repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Ghost. Evidenced by speaking in tongues. Not just any old way. Not just say, I've got goosebumps. The hair stood up on the back of my neck. No. Speak with other tongues. And so then, if you want a bonus part of the study, go look at Nicodemus. Nicodemus. Yes. He preached repentance. Yes, he preached be baptized in water. Yes, he preached receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then, just to be awesome and exact, like Jesus always is, verse 8, he says, John 3:8, he says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof." You know the word sound in Greek is phoné. Phoné. It's the same word where we get phonics from. In other words, speech. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the speech, the sound thereof. But you can't tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is how many people that are born of the Spirit?" How is it? Well, some people speak in tongues and some people don't, right? No. Jesus said, "So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." You're not going to be born of the Spirit, amen, and not speak in tongues. It just happens. And it's for a reason. So we clearly see that Jesus preached the keys to the kingdom. So if you're not going to listen to Peter, go read what Jesus said and obey Him. And then come back and obey Peter. Because he preached the same thing. And this is, I promise you, this is just scratching the surface. So there's two other areas that we don't have time to go through tonight. But I am going to give you the scriptures for them, okay? And if you don't have the app, you can download the app. And this will be recorded if you're not taking notes. But listen, I'm going to go back to that sound we played. Most of you recognized when a key was unlocking a door. when you heard that sound, it brought back memories. And you knew what it was. But I often wonder, if somebody was to come to you, your coworker tomorrow, come to you and say, "Brother Ryan, I can see God is working in your life. You might not have it all together yet, but what are you doing?" That's a door. And if you don't know the keys, you need to study God's Word and be more familiar with the sound of the keys to the kingdom than you are with the sound of knowing when somebody's coming through a door on earth. Oh, I want to know how to reach people. I want to know. We had Brother Laksamana here the other day, and he was talking about souls and winning souls. And that's what I'm here to tell you tonight, is you've got to be equipped. Amen. It's not just about going and finding somebody, but it's about handing them a set of keys that will surely unlock heaven. So here are the places in the book of Acts. Okay? Three places. Acts chapter 8. All the keys are there. When Philip preached to the Samaritans and then Peter and John came. There was repentance. There was baptism. And there was infilling of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. All three keys. Acts chapter 8 verses 4 through 19. All three keys were present when the Gentiles first received salvation. That was Cornelius' household. Acts chapter 10. Let's read the whole chapter. Acts 10, 1 through 36. Well, you could read 1 through, if you want the short version, 1 through 6, 34 through 36, and 44 and 45. You could read all of that. 44 through 48. Again, all three keys were present. Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Well, what about people that have already been baptized another way? Well, Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. Okay? And then, well, what about the very first early part of the church? What about the epistles? Yes. There's an epistle to the Romans. Those are Gentiles. Amen. Romans 6, 3 through 7. All three keys are there. Then to the Greeks at Colossae. Colossians 2, 10 through 14. All three keys are present there. What about to the Hebrews? To the people that were the first people of God. Yes. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. All three keys are there. Every part of the Scripture. There's no getting away with it. If you want to get to heaven, you've got to have the keys. And if you want your friends and family to also get to heaven, they got to have the keys too. And then, what about from Peter in his epistle? You know, he preached Pentecost. He preached Pentecost. But what about the epistle that he wrote to the church later? Did he change his mind? Did he switch the keys out for something else? No. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. And I am going to end by reading this. Please stand. Amen. 1 Peter, because he preached that message on the day of Pentecost, the revelation of who God is. He preached repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Did he change his mind? Just say it. No. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, and quickened by the Spirit." There's a key right there. The Holy Ghost. "By which also he went and preached unto spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism, there's the key, doth now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. That's the repentance part. You get a good conscience towards God because He forgives you when you repent. And He says, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Anybody glad? Amen. Take out your keys. I know it's time to go. Take out your keys and be thankful. You don't just have keys to the car or the house or, no, I've got a mansion over there. And when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Can we thank the Lord tonight? Jesus, I love You. I praise You, God. Hallelujah. Thank You for these keys, Lord God, that a long time ago, Lord God, I remember when my burdens rolled away, God. I remember, Lord Jesus, when I repented, God, and I had a clean conscience towards You, God. And I answered it, Lord Jesus, by being baptized in Your name, God. And You gave me the resurrection power, Lord God. Thank You, Jesus, for all that You've done, God. Thank You for the keys, Lord. God, help me to show these keys to somebody else, God. Help me, Lord Jesus, to share these keys, God. Because You're not done yet, God. Hallelujah. You want to grow this church even more, Lord God. We thank You and praise You, Lord. We worship You tonight, God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's been a blessing to worship with you tonight. Amen. A blessing to teach tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.